Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
And now joining us is New York One. I would say he is the host of Inside City Hall. Also contributive to the Daily News, I believe.
Columnist, yes. Yes,
and,
I am.
He needs no introduction, but since we're on radio, I'll give it to him. Errol Lewis is with us. Errol, thank you for coming and reaching out, and thank you for coming into our swearing in.
Of course. Great to be here with you. I remember the old days at the other station when we would work on different things together. And congratulations. What a fabulous morning. You dragged out the entire New York power elite here, basically to kiss your ring. And I can't think of a better guy who, who deserves
humbled.
It.
I'm humbled
It was a great morning.
What did you think of the ceremony? What did you think about the union movement?
First of all, I really was sort of bowled over. I go to a lot of different events, and, you know, we report on a lot of different events. And one person we have had a very, very, very hard time getting even a few minutes with is Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, who was on the floor yesterday. I mean, being sworn in to impeach the president. Clearly got on a plane, came back here, a million different things that everybody would have said, okay, look, we understand. This is really important.
Right.
He took the time to come, and that is very, very meaningful to me. I'm from a union household. As you know, my father was NYPD for like 31 years. My sister was a detective. She was also in the NYPD. It made all the difference in our lives, the union benefits that you now cannot take for granted, but we had that growing up, that, you know, there was no question if you needed a checkup, if you needed to go to the hospital, you knew that it would be taken care of. There was no question that he would, over the decades that he served with the NYPD, get step increases. You know, he got promoted, we got promoted, you know. It meant and means everything to us. Now, I happen to be a member of a couple of different unions myself, and that true too is important. That other radio station, by the way, is a union shop.
Yes.
I was the only title that had to be unionized, so I had to join AFTRA in order to have my radio show way back when. And then, of course, they've merged with SAG, and so now I'm a member of SAG-AFTRA.
I would say congratulations. I wish they would have made me become a member of that union, because I would love to be a SAG member.
Well, if you've got a few $1,000 to spare, I had to re-up once they merged, and it was quite expensive, but very much worth doing. And, of course, I'm in the professional staff Congress at CUNY, because I've been teaching for a long, long time, for about a decade now at the City University of New York's Journalism School. And they got us finally. It took a while. It took a lot of protesting and so forth, but they got us a meaningful increase. You know,
very good.
I'm a true adjunct professor when I teach over there. I just, you know, I do it just because I like to do it. But there were some who were trying to make a living that way. And, you know, you'd still be on food stamps if you did full-time adjunct work at the City University. So they still got some things to work out there. But I'm a big supporter of the union movement. And when we're teaching journalism about how power works in New York, I do a whole segment on labor unions. In fact, I may have to try and bring my students by here. I'll work that out with your staff. But it's important
more than
that
happy
they know.
To have them here.
It's important that they know, because they're about to become journalists. And I can't tell you how many colleagues I have in the news business who don't know what you do or why you do it. You know, they'll see a bunch of guys in matching jackets, you know, cheering for some politician, and they'll say, they'll just check it off, like, oh, you know, so-and-so, a politician, got supported by UFT or the Teamsters or the, you know, Central Labor Council. They have no idea. And I try and tell them, it's like, you've got to go and see and talk to people and find out, if you can, what the conditions were like before the union came in and after, the before and after. I was glad you mentioned that in your talk today, what it was like before school safety agents had representation of this kind. My mother's mother moved up here from Florida, and she worked in the laundry at, I believe it was one of the big central Harlem, it wasn't Harlem Hospital, but one of the other ones, like Metropolitan Hospital.
Metropolitan Hospital,
She worked in the basically the laundry room. And it was such a pitifully small amount of money. My mother would get tears in her eyes talking about what happened when they finally organized and joined 1199. It was, you know, 300-400% increase in the hourly wage, finally some benefits, finally some health care, something resembling a retirement was now possible. It made all the difference in the world, you know? And I mean, and you know, as you know, I grew up mostly in the suburbs, but for the first 7 years of my life, we lived in public housing in West Harlem, you know? So everything your folks do,
yes,
I, you know, it New Yorkers see it and touch it and feel it, and they don't always know it, you know? And that's one of my little sort of side missions is to try and tell people, it's like, listen, these union guys, they're not just figureheads. They're not just here to support politicians. They're not just here to complain when it's time for a particular contract. You've got to talk to them and find out who their members are, what their members do. You know, one of my favorite events of the year, I've done it now twice because they've asked me to, is the Doorman Awards. You know, 32
yes.
BJ.
Yes, 32 BJ.
It's the concierges, mm-hmm. it's the doormen, but it's also the people who clean the theaters on Broadway, the people who clean the terminals at the airport. Again, the folks who make the city go, you know, like the yes. backbone of the city. The security guards. The security guards yes. are like, I mean, right. I can't tell you how many times they have saved my butt from, you know, I'm at the wrong building, right, I don't right. know where sure. I'm going, sure, I don't sure. know where I'm supposed to do. And, you know, it makes all the difference in the world to talk to these folks, because when I talk with security, the security guards in particular, and a lot of your members too, actually, they say, oh, hey, I love the show. They remind me of my dad. People who are working people, they're doing what they do, but they pay attention. They read the paper. They're tuned in. And then they pull out their phones and show me pictures of their daughters, their sons. This is my daughter. She's going to NYU. This is my son. He just graduated from City College. This is my other son who's, you know, my nephew who's coming onto the job, and we just got him his union card. This is, you know, a miracle, economically speaking, that you can go from, you know, like in my case, you can go from, you know, a woman cleaning in the basement of the laundry in Harlem to have a daughter and then a grandson who gets to go to Harvard, you know, in the space of, what, 25, 30 years.
Right, right.
This is a miracle. This is an engine that generates the middle class. It's like a factory that spits out members of the middle class, that spits out, you know, the American dream and retirement and home ownership and multi-generational wealth for communities of color that never had it before. It's everything. Is everything. So, you know, I you know, that's a big story. You have to tell it a little piece at a time, but it's worth telling. So I try and tell it a little bit at a time, which is, you know, when TWU is in the middle of contract negotiations and they're threatening either a slowdown or even a strike. I remember I was one of the few who did. I supported the strike when Roger Toussaint took them all out and they shut down the subway system.
It was the three coldest days I remember.
It was winter time. Yeah. That's right. It was winter time. But yeah. I supported it. I said, listen, you got to talk to them, because I was on the editorial board of the Daily News at the time. And when they came in, as it was getting heated and it looked like the confrontation was going to result in a strike, we asked them, like, you know, what's the problem here? You know, and they weren't talking about regular, like, you know, we want to break the pattern, we want an extra 2 or 3%. They were saying, what they said at the time, I'll never forget this. He said, if you come down to the bus depots where our members are, shortly after Thanksgiving, you'll see men sleeping on cots in the outdoors. Why? So they can be first online in order to request Christmas off. That the work rules and the vacation scheduling was so screwed up and so crazy that you had to wait online physically. It was first come, first serve. They didn't have, you know, and the word they kept coming back to was dignity. They're like, this is about dignity. This is not about, like, extra money in our pockets. Right. We know it. We deserve it. We'll negotiate that. That's easy. The dignity was the part that really struck me, and that is part of the union story that needs a lot more attention, you know. And I've heard from, you know, your counterparts, you know, whole big debate over Rikers Island and closing it down and reorganizing it and so forth. Elias Husam-Edin, and I also interviewed his predecessor quite a bit, of the Correction Officers Benevolent Association, they talk about, we are injured, physically injured. Our members are physically injured and or hit with, you know, feces, urine, physical yes. attacks every single day. And these are city employees. This is a scandal. This is a scandal. This is shocking to me. And so every time, every single time he comes on, regardless of whatever else we're talking about, I ask him, what's going on with your members? What's going on with safety on the job and so forth? I feel confident because this is a happy day.
Yes.
And we saw that at least a wide swath of very powerful people are standing behind you and your members. But I won't be fully satisfied until there are a lot more people who are standing behind your members and, you know, standing behind it with understanding, you know?
Yes.
I know as a union leader, I'm sure you don't mind having support whether people understand why they're supporting you or not. But I want people to understand.
It's important for people to understand why they're supporting you because they continue to come back.
Right. Well, exactly.
I don't want somebody here just because they're checking the box. We don't need that.
Exactly.
We need real support. We need people to understand what's going on. And speaking of that,
yeah.
your nephew, your Juanita's nephew,
yes.
is up from Florida.
Yes.
I'm going to have him here because I found out he was also part-time UPS in the
Teamster. UPS, that is
right. And since he's here, he's going to school here, I told him he's going to be on the radio station. So I'm going to have Juanita and your nephew come up here, and they're going to follow you up.
Absolutely. Well, look, again, congratulations. I noticed, you know, this is a radio, so people can't see it, but this event's been over for quite a while, and I'm counting close to 100 people here just milling around your hall here, and they're not members. These are people who just want to be here, want to see each other, and, you know, this is a special space today, and you're a special man.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
All right.
My next guest is here by the way of Jacksonville, Jeffrey Scarlett. Now, Jeffrey Scarlett told me that he used to drive UPS.
That's the working UPS.
You used to work in UPS, so you were a Teamster?
Yes, sir. I was a Teamster. I worked there for 2.5 years.
And you came to New York because?
I'm actually going to Kingsborough Community College to study political science and journalism.
Okay, now, that sounds familiar. Who are you related to?
Errol Lewis.
And?
Juanita Scarlett.
That's right.
Juanita Lewis.
It kind of runs in the family, so I thought it would be special just to bring this young man by and have him say a few words that he had some knowledge of the Teamsters horse and carriage and the logo. He said, that's familiar. I seen that before. And he used to get the magazine at the UPS down in Jacksonville. So, Jeffrey, I want to thank you for stopping by. And how old are you?
19.
19 years old, understands the union movement. He has a little bit about the union movement. He's going to be a success. Remember his name, Jeffrey Scarlett. I'm looking for big things from you, Jeffrey.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Now joining us is Councilman Ben Kellos. Ben, thank you for stopping by the swearing in, and thank you for agreeing to stay for the radio show.
Thank you for having me. It was a great ceremony. You had James P. Hoffa, your international president, come in. And Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer did warn everyone in the audience about getting on this show, that it's a tough show to be on. But
you've been on before.
I have been, and it was a tough interview. I'm not going to lie.
But you came with your information. So, I mean, look, as long as you know what you're talking about, you're okay.
I try.
And so... what do you think about the labor movement, I'd say, post-Janus? What are we doing so far? You think we need to do something better? What are you hearing?
I've spoken to public service labor unions all over the city and state, and they are telling me that they are stronger than ever. Members of labor know what's at stake, and they're not falling for any of the stuff that's coming out of Washington. They know that Janus was an attack on labor, and frankly, they know that no one's looking out for them other than their labor union. So I see folks getting more involved, and I think that if labor members get involved in their unions, and I think that you can define who will be the next president of the United States of America, the next mayor of the city of New York, the next borough president in Manhattan, and the next council members, because everything's up for grabs in 2020 and 2021.
Well, that's well said. We will be actively picking candidates that are labor-friendly to run the city, and we need a lot of help in this city. When this broadcast is being recorded, just yesterday, we had a woman attacked in the subway right on the corner of where our building is, and bleach was thrown in her face.
There's something wrong, and we need to support our brothers and sisters in labor. We need to make sure that kids in school are learning lessons when they make mistakes, and that our school safety officers are supported so that they can take any time somebody makes a mistake and turn that into a learning opportunity in the school environment, in the academic environment, where the kids can learn from their mistakes. But what's happening right now, where school safety agents aren't able to do their jobs, aren't able to keep kids safe from one another, that's just leading to a society where kids are getting out of school and continuing that behavior. So we need to support our school safety officers.
Yes. And they thank you. And they're actually here today. They're looking at you right now. We also want to say that the movement to have criminal justice reform may have gone a little bit too far with the policies, and I hope that the New York State Legislature will evaluate what's going on and make the necessary adjustments. I'm not saying we need to be draconian, but we need to make some adjustments because we don't want the pendulum to swing where we have a society of lawlessness.
I couldn't agree more. I don't think that somebody should be in jail just because they can't afford bail, but we do need to be in a place where if a person has been detained or arrested, and you know, and they're even saying, as soon as you let me out, I'm going to go do what I did again, and whether it's domestic violence or another type of violent crime, we need to be able to hold these people and keep people safe. Because right now, if you talk to safety agents at different agencies throughout our city, and including our police officers, they just feel like folks are just going to go back out there. So what's the point? And we really need to support those in uniforms so that they can do their jobs, keep us safe. And listen, it's not necessarily about punishment. It's about working with people, getting them the rehabilitation they need, the help they need, the mental health that they need, so that we can give them the care that they need.
Thank you, Councilman Ben Kalos. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
My next guest is our New York State Comptroller, Tom DiNapoli. Tom, welcome to Reaching Out, and thank you for attending our swearing-in ceremony.
Yeah. Wouldn't have missed it, and I have to say it really was an inspiration. The turnout of your members, first and foremost, to have General President James Hoffa here to swear you in. What a great honor. Our friend George Miranda did a great job emceeing, and all the elected officials, a real tribute to the incredible leadership that you provided to 237 and the great support you have among your members and among the New York, greater New York community. You had a bipartisan turnout of elected officials who are very proud to stand with you. And I'm sure this was a great day for you, a great moment for you. Another 5-year term. Congratulations.
We had Senator Chuck Schumer come by. We had Congressman Peter King come by. That meant a lot that you could reach across the aisle and have people from both parties come and support you.
You had borough presidents, you had council members, state senators, assembly members,
yes.
The great Hazel Dukes from the NAACP. I mean, really was a who's who of the New York, greater New York City community.
And we had two controllers, you being one, and
that's right.
Scott Stringer being the second.
Absolutely.
So tell us, last time you and I spoke, the New York State Pension Fund was doing very well. How are we doing now?
Well, we're still doing very well. We still have one more quarter because we're on the state fiscal year, but we are certainly ahead of the $210 billion we were at the end of March of 2019. You know, we're benefiting from a strong market, but not all of our money is in the stock market. And we have a great confidence in our asset allocation. We just updated it. But we're always vigilant because, Greg, one of the concerns I have moving forward, it's a good concern to have. People are living a lot longer, so our retirees are living well into their 80s and their 90s. So the payouts for the pension fund, frankly, are getting larger. We're paying out over $1 billion a month right now from the New York State plan. So while we're growing the fund and making money, we're very cognizant of the fact that our obligations for the future are also growing as well. So, as I said, we have confidence in our asset allocation. New York, and you're a trustee and you know it for your work for the New York City funds, unlike other states, we ensure that we fulfill our commitment to our public workers, our public retirees. Our pension funds are well-funded, and we're going to continue to protect that.
Thank you. And last time we spoke, the pension fund did so well that some municipalities didn't have to pay as much into the pension fund. Is that still the case this
year?
Well,
we've been able to reduce the contribution rate this past year because we lowered our assumed rate of return for the employees' retirement system, which is the vast number of our members. We kept the rates flat. So I'm glad you asked that question, because part of the balancing act is ensuring that we have the money they have to pay the pensions, but also recognize it has an impact on taxpayers, has an impact on budgets, that could have an impact on personnel and headcount and position. So, fortunately, we've been able to keep the rates very stable, and that's good news for taxpayers as well as for our retirees.
Very good. Is there anything that you'd like to say before we let you go? Because I know you have a very busy schedule.
Well, we appreciate your leadership in this in this post-Janus era. We need more union leaders like you who reach out to the members, understand the grassroots. You've been an incredible advocate for your members in each and every way, and I look forward to continuing to enjoy our great partnership and our great friendship for many years to come.
Thank you very much for stopping by.
Thanks, Greg.
New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. Thank you. And next is Vincent Alvarez, President, New York City Central Labor Council. Vinny, thank you for coming to the swearing in, and thank you for appearing on Reaching Out.
Well, let me start by saying congratulations.
Thank you.
There's a lot of things which make my job easy. Having you as a colleague for several more years is a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, Vinny. So what do you think of the labor movement these days? What do you think after Janus, how do you think we're doing?
Well, we in the city have done a phenomenal job. Senator Schumer was here earlier, and he was talking about how the labor movement continues to be under attack. The labor movement has historically, for the past century and even more than that, represented the front lines in the fight for the middle class. And we have done a great job here in the city at responding to the decision that came down in the Janus decision. Our labor movement is strong. We're active. The public sector side, I think, did a phenomenal job at stepping up, reaching out to their members, and reconnecting with their members. And that's why we continue to be the largest labor movement and the most active and important labor movement, regional labor movement, and regional labor federation in the country.
Now, what do you think about the fight for $15 an hour? More states have joined New York.
They have, and it's real interesting because one of the, a lot of people talking about this, you hear the president talk about it's the greatest economy that we've had in 50 years, and he goes through all of these different bullet points, but one of the areas that really needs to be addressed is wages, and we haven't seen wages tick up. The one area where it has ticked up is where there has been statewide action taken on minimum wage, as we've seen here in New York. And that is a much-needed help for people in the lower-income brackets. So we were proud to stand with the unions who fought for that, and our elected officials and the governor and others who did a great job with that. And we got to make sure that we keep having paying attention to the power that's in the workplace for workers to achieve higher levels of wages, whether it be through statewide action like minimum wages or through negotiations through collective bargaining.
Okay. So, Vinny, any final thoughts before we...
It's great.
Leave.
It's great to be with you here, Greg. And I thought as I was watching through the ceremonies here today, what makes our labor movement special, what makes the New York City labor movement special and unique and the greatest and the largest labor movement in the country is because we have great organizations and we have great leaders at those organizations. The Teamsters are at the forefront of one of the organizations, and you are too as a leader. So I look forward to just working with you.
Thank you, Vinny. Thank you for stopping by today. Great.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.